Artificial intelligence is rapidly being integrated into many facets of life, including in America's classrooms. As more school districts integrate AI into learning, Stephanie Tsai looks at its growing impact in K-12 education and the warning signs around its use.
Amna, parents and teachers are still trying to get a handle on students' use of social media, and now they're being forced to grapple with AI, too. A recent survey from the RAND Corporation found more than half of U.S. students are using AI for school, an increase of 15 percentage points this year compared to just 2 years ago. At the same time, 61% of parents believe AI will harm students' critical thinking, compared to just 22% of school district leaders. All of this as AI juggernaut OpenAI gets even more embedded into the business of American education. Today, it announced a new partnership with school districts across the country. The company says it is giving roughly 400,000 K-12 educators free access to a version of ChatGPT through the next academic year. Let's start by hearing from some parents and teachers grappling with the onset of AI in schools.
Hi, my name is Elsie Carter. My daughter is in the ninth grade, and she's 14 years old. I use AI every single day. Of course, I know that they're using AI as well. But she has expressed that she uses it to mostly just kind of help guide her in her writing assignments to make sure that her argument is present, that it's cogent.
I'm Crystal Jean, and I'm a teacher. Being in this profession for as long as I have, change is always there. And AI is just another change. It's not going anywhere.
I'm Sarah, and I have a child in 12th grade. The superintendent of Houston Independent School District, where my child goes, is a big fan of AI, and it's taking the place of teachers' ability to write curriculum and, you know, experts' ability to write curriculum.
I'm Matt Walton. I am a technology and engineering education teacher in Henrico County, which is located just outside of Richmond, Virginia. To be honest, I think we're, as a society in America, we're kind of behind the eight ball a little bit when it comes to artificial intelligence and teaching it to our high school students.
My name is Chris Hamatake. I have three kids in K-12 schools. I've got a fourth grader, a ninth grader, and an 11th grader. If my kids are going to use AI, I want them to know, you know, kind of questions to ask to figure out, is this an accurate response from AI? Can I trust this? And how do I prove that it's accurate or not?
There have been times when students have tried to pass off an AI generation as their work. And when it's been flagged, and I've tried to have a conversation with the student, rarely have they been able to put thought into their, you know, into their verbalization.
I'm an AP computer science teacher, and there's a unit on artificial intelligence in there. We do talk about the language models out there, such as ChatGPT and Gemini and Microsoft Copilot. But I also ask my students to investigate artificial intelligence that goes beyond the classroom walls. For example, how is the AI going to be used in healthcare?
It is going to change our ability to critically think about things. But it's also the future. Like it's here to stay. It's being integrated into every electronic device and software that you can imagine. So I think that we have to embrace it. And we just got to be careful, because I do think that critical thinking part of it is altering our ability to think for ourselves.
Who's Reading is a reading log platform that I've been dabbling with and having the students use, and the writing prompts are like AI generated, where you can keep track of the minutes that you read, and so it's very personalized. And then you can lower the reading level. You know, you can put the grade level of the student if they're seventh grade, but their reading level is, say, third grade.
I've heard a lot of people say, oh, you know, it's an aid to students, it helps them. But, you know, if you're using AI to help you organize your paper or to help you come up with ideas or to help you strategize for your paper, you're not learning how to do that yourself.
I don't necessarily have a problem with that being introduced into the classroom setting, as long as teachers are able to take the role of the supervisor, the fact checker with it. And that's can be hard because we ask a lot of our teachers anyway. And I don't know if they have the bandwidth for that.
I'm joined now by Justin Reich, the director of the Teaching Systems Lab at MIT. He's also the author of Failure to Disrupt, Why Technology Alone Can't Transform Education. Justin, thanks so much for joining us. You heard the anxiety, the opportunities, the uncertainty associated with this technology. Your research has really been focusing on this, in particular with K-12 education. How prevalent is this technology right now in schools, and what are the disruptions we're seeing from it, for better or worse at this point?
Well, as you said at the top of your piece, I was co-author on that RAND paper, which showed that about half of teachers and about half of students most recently reported using AI, and that number continues to grow. It's much higher in secondary school, middle and high school, than it is in elementary school. The enormous concern that educators have is that when students are using AI to do their work, they're not thinking, they're not struggling, and they're not learning. Some of that looks like cheating. Some of that is a very sort of classic case of a student taking work from somewhere else and representing it as their own. But in other cases, it's more subtle problems where students are using machines to produce work and they're not doing the thinking and struggle that they need to do, as many of your guests articulated, in order to be able to learn. Teachers and students are also excited about the fact that these tools are for sure going to empower human beings to do all kinds of new things. And so we want to find ways of navigating the opportunities they present, also with some real immediate concerns that teachers in particular, I think, feel quite earnestly.
Now, and you have OpenAI now freely giving it to thousands of teachers, saying ChatGPT will enable teachers to be better at their jobs. We spoke to the superintendent, Justin, of a large, diverse school district in Virginia who is part of this new initiative. Here's what she said.
It was a very diverse system with diverse needs. What that means is heavier demand placed on our teachers, because our educators are the ones that have to differentiate lessons, look at data across multiple content areas for multiple students, and that can be a heavy tax on time. So when I think about what's possible with OpenAI, with ChatGPT for teachers, it really can go a long way in helping supplement what our teachers are doing in the classroom every day, removing some of the barriers of time and the burden of time for teachers to do some of the manual, more administrative things that actually ChatGPT for teachers could do for them.
Justin, that all sounds pretty great. I mean, you're a former high school teacher yourself. How do you see that balance between the promise that AI will supplement what teachers do, increase their bandwidth, versus replace what they do, and maybe even suck up more of their bandwidth?
There were technologists in the middle of the 20th century that made a very similar argument when they invented a machine called the Scantron machine, which was the first machine that was able to automatically score multiple choice items. And they made a very similar kind of argument that this is going to save teachers tons of time, that there's going to be all kinds of new assessment possibilities, teachers are going to be able to focus on the most important things. And I think most teachers looking back on the Scantron machine would not say, wow, multiple choice items have saved us so much time. So sometimes when we aim for efficiency, we don't necessarily get efficiency. We actually get a system that is targeted at something different. So I think we should be very cautious about that risk. There are more contemporary examples too. Probably the most important thing is if we are saving teachers time, that only matters if the learning afterwards is actually better. So if teachers are using ChatGPT to make new materials, but those new materials don't help students learn as well as the materials that teachers were creating, then if we're saving time at the cost of learning, that's not an advantage.
I want to follow up. Prince William County, where that superintendent we interviewed is from, is one of those school districts that has a high number of disadvantaged students and English as a second language learners. That brings up one of the chronic problems that AI presumably might solve, which is how to make sure students aren't left behind. How do you see generative AI's potential for helping or harming equity in American education?
So again, the argument that new technologies will disproportionately benefit students furthest from opportunity is now over a century old. When radio was first introduced, it was argued that with radio, the underprivileged school would become the privileged one, that elite lectures could be broadcast into the homes of lower-income students, and radio did not bring equality. Personal computers did not bring equality. The web didn't bring equality. New technologies typically disproportionately benefit the affluent. They benefit people with the financial, social, and technical capital to take advantage of new innovations. So it is certainly admirable to try to use these new technologies to close equity gaps. But over and over again, what we see with many generations of new technologies and education systems is that they really more accelerate opportunities for the affluent than they create opportunities for low-income students. What makes more equitable educational environments are social movements that provide more resources to families, to students, to teachers, to schools, so that they can do a better job and have more resources to educate young people furthest from opportunity.
Finally, Justin, how much are educators handing over to tech companies when they adopt these technologies? And what kind of policies should be put in place as ed tech gains such wide purchase in the American education landscape?
Well, I think school district leaders should constantly remember that for organizations like OpenAI, giving away ChatGPT is a customer acquisition strategy. These companies are trying to build brand affinity and make students customers for life. And our public school system should be very careful about how we invite any kind of company into what we take as a public good and as a good that students can't refuse. I think there are some districts that are exploring questions like, should students and families be able to refuse? Be able to say, actually, I don't want my students introduced to those tools. And how would they logistically work with that? And how would that work? Probably the other thing that school districts really need to keep in mind is that this free technology they're getting is venture capital subsidized technology. This is like the Uber rides you used to get for $8 across town. One day the investors will want their money back. And when that day comes, we may find that the consumer experience of these tools gets much, much worse, that either they become more expensive or they have more advertisements, more sponsored content, all kinds of things that maybe we really don't want happening inside of our schools. So school district leaders making these big purchases or these big acceptances of free resources from schools really need to think carefully, not only about the decisions they're making now, but what they may be locking themselves into for the future.
Just so much to talk about when it comes to this topic, and we'll continue to explore a lot of these AI issues down the line. For now, we'll have to leave it there. Justin Reich, Director of the Teaching Systems Lab at MIT, thank you for joining us.
It's been a great pleasure.
And we'll continue our look at AI's role in education next week with a report on its use and regulation at the college level. That's part of our special series, Rethinking College, next Tuesday.